Hi, I'm Christine Blanchett. I talked to Dean Redman, who is the judging coordinator for the upcoming Hollywood North International Film Festival, and Mike Dopehut, who is one of the judges. Check this out. Joining me today at the Rio Theater in Vancouver, BC, is a very special guest. He's an award-winning actor, stuntman, and he's a returning judge for the Hollywood North International Film Festival. His name is Mike Dopehut. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yes, you did it. My name's a tongue twister.
I want to start with, for the audience, you have an impressive acting background. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All the acting parts. You've been in Arrow, X-Men, and so tell us a little bit about your acting.
Well, my career started in sort of a roundabout way. It was always something I wanted to do, but I was an athlete first. My ambition in life was to be a professional athlete, professional football player. And after my career was finished, I decided to get into acting full bore. So, and here we are.
And here we are. But how did becoming, well, you were a professional football player for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
Yes, I played in the CFL.
Yes. So you went from football to acting. How did that come about?
Well, again, it was always something I wanted to do, but I didn't think I could do it. I came from Montreal. I didn't know any actors, really. So it was just something. I was a big fan of movies. And it's funny. I met a guy, a friend of mine, and one of his mutual friends was an agent. And we met and he asked, you know, you've got a certain look that you might be interested in the film industry. And I said, well, I'd love to. I've always wanted to do it, but I didn't know how to go about it. So I literally walked into the union office and said, I want to be an actor. And they laughed at me. Of course they did. But I said, no, I'm serious. I want to know who's the best agent. Where do I get headshots? Where do I do this? Who do I study with? And they couldn't tell me who the best people were, the best agencies and such were, but they ended up just showing me a list of, well, these are reputable agents, these are reputable photographers, these are reputable teachers that we know, and go from there. So that's what I did.
Oh, that's great. But so for football, but it's transferable, right? I mean, that helps in your acting career, right?
Because it absolutely. You know what? I do think being an athlete helps when it comes to acting, because acting is not just about being there, right? There's a lot of discipline involved. There's a lot of confidence involved. There's a lot of, I've got to do this. I've got to make it happen. And, you know, as most athletes in their lives, what they can do is that they sit there and they really go for something, right? And like, say you're playing a game and you want to get the first down if you're running back, right? You really have to do everything you can to get that first down. And sort of, I think that's where it helps with acting is I've got to learn all this dialogue. I've got to create this character. How do I do that? I've got to do everything I can. I got to think of every which way I can so that I can make sure that I get this character right.
And problem solve.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yes, absolutely. Problem solve is a huge thing.
So what do you have a mission or a saying that you can do this? Because I'm wondering if you come from a family of actors. I want to be an actor. How did this happen?
Well, really for me, wanting to be an actor was just something, I fell in love with movies. And my brother's 7 years older than I am. And he would always bring these movies, these B movies like Mad Max, Escape from New York. And then we would watch these movies on VHS or Beta back in the day. And it was something that I just loved this world. I wanted to be part of this world. And that's essentially and my mom used to always say, used to dive in ditches and recreate scenes in the backyard with nobody else there, just me. And I always forgot about that, but my mom would always remind me, don't you remember you used to dive into the leaves and pretend you had weapons and running around and playing G.I. Joe? And I said, oh my God, that's right, I used to do that. So it was always a world that I was fascinated with.
Right, and you're from Montreal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm from Montreal originally. My whole family's from the former Yugoslavia, but I was the only one born in Montreal.
So I was gonna say, you are now a returning judge for the festival coming up on January the 25th. Tell us about, how did you get involved with the festival?
Well, I'm very grateful. Mr. Dean Redman, a good friend of mine and a fellow actor and stunt performer as well. And he reached out to me and literally said, you know, we're coming up, we're creating this new Hollywood North International Film Festival, and we'd love for you to be a part of it. And I'm like, well, what do I know about judging movies or judging actors and such? But I guess after we sat down and talked and realized that, you know, we've got years of experience between us, that, you know, was a good time that we could sit there and we can actually have a say in this. And I believed him, and I thought, okay, Dean's right, we can do this. So here we are.
But the process must be really intense to judge, because, I mean, how do you judge so many films? How does it?
Well, it was, you know, again, we had growing pains because last year was our first year doing it. However, we got together, we had a lot of pre-screeners, a lot of judges that would, you know, literally narrow down, because we had so many submissions. I can't remember the exact numbers, but I know it was in the 800s or 1,000. And there were so many, we were overwhelmed because we didn't expect to have that many films. But the pre-screeners were able to get it narrowed down to a certain amount of number, a justifiable number, so that I could go through everything as far as when it became the best short film judge. And I was able to watch all these movies and go through it. But I have to tell you, it's tough because it's such a subjective thing. And how do you sit there and judge something, all these artists, right? Like I say, it's a love-hate relationship, because I love all these projects. I'm watching these amazing young filmmakers do all these incredible things, coming up with these amazing stories, amazing performances. And then I've got to sit there and narrow it down and you know, pick one to be the best, which was really daunting. That's where I hated it. I was like, no, I didn't want to do that. But I went through, got through it, and I'm happy with, you know, the results of it. And I think everybody else was too, so.
And you're back.
I'm back.
And you're a judge for the best actor.
Yes, I'm a judge for the best actor this year, which again, I don't know why Dean put me in the spot, but that's okay, I'll take it. But look, I'm excited to see these performances, because I was truly blown away last year at all these young filmmakers and new filmmakers, right? It's not necessarily because they're young, but they're all these new filmmakers. Some people were lawyers and decided to become a filmmaker, but they come up with these amazing stories and interesting ways of shooting their stories and making them believable. And the quality was fantastic.
Mm. And what do you love most about judging?
What do I love most about judging? I think I love the fact that I can watch all these performances, and I'm getting to see things that not a lot of people in the world will see, right? Because it is a film, there's a limited number of people that are actually gonna watch all these movies, and I get to see and get to watch the creativity of these amazing performers, of these amazing storytellers.
And Mike, last year, it was for short films, is that correct?
Yes.
And who won from last
year? We had a movie from Spain called The Bathtub, which I just thought it was such an amazing, amazing short film, because it was literally set in the bathtub.
Oh.
And one guy sitting in the bathtub on the phone telling this amazing story. And literally it's a story about a guy ready to commit suicide. And some phone operator's calling to sell them something, and he's trying to get off the phone, just leave me alone. And then they start talking, and he makes her cry, and he starts making her feel bad. So she calls back, and he's like, okay, look, I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to. So they end up having this amazing 20-minute conversation, which at the end of the day ends up saving his life. So it's really, really touching, really poignant film, and told in such a way that I wouldn't have anticipated that's what the story was about. So it really caught me off guard in a great way, in a positive way.
Right. And I mean, there's so much talent out there. Oh. Having this festival is so, it's great for the community. It's great for, you know, having filmmakers, you know, submit their films, and there's always room for a film.
Absolutely. And that's what I love about this process is, nowadays with you've got different cameras, you can shoot on your iPhone. Some of the films were shot on iPhones, right? And that's amazing to me. They have access to all these little cameras and sound studio, and seems like more and more people in the world are involved and interested in filmmaking. And so you're getting all these different portrayals and different stories from all these different walks of life, which to me is really amazing, really eye-opening.
That sounds so exciting. I can't.
Mm-hmm, it is. You're going to love it. I'm telling you. You're going to love the films.
Yes. And so what is next for you, Mike? Can you share some information?
Yes. I have one movie that I'm particularly proud about that we ended up shooting in Cape Breton. It's called Little Lorraine. And we shot that. It was an independent film that we ended up shooting over a course of 2 months in Sydney, Nova Scotia, which is in Cape Breton. And it's a story about this small town who somehow get involved in this international cocaine smuggling scene, which is based on a true story. And what ends up happening is these lobster fishermen become these drug smugglers. And most of them don't know that they're actually doing it until they find out halfway through that that's what they were smuggling. And it's a way of they smuggle these. So back in the day, if you remember, police could not go and search the hearse from a funeral home or the funeral parlor or coffins. So that's how they were smuggling all this cocaine, was through these coffins into the hearse and driving them to Montreal, this port in Montreal, and funneling all these drugs through North America that way.
Wow, what an interesting, and a lot of mm-hmm. involved.
It was, and it was great, and I get to play this French Quebecer lobster fisherman, which is great, and I am, yes.
Thank you, Mike, for coming on the show, and is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, thank you, Christine, for having me. This is great. Really enjoyed talking with you. Yes. And what I would love to say is all of you guys, make sure you get there to Hollywood North International Film Festival. You won't be disappointed. The films are fantastic. You will see some amazing performances. Make sure you're there.
Merci beaucoup.
Oh, merci, ma chère.
Okay. Joining me at the Rio Theater in Vancouver, BC is a very special guest, Dean Redman, who's an accomplished British-born Canadian actor, stuntman, who is the judges coordinator, MC, head judge of the upcoming Hollywood North International Film Festival happening on January 25th. And I'm so excited to have you with us, Dean, and welcome.
Thank you very much, Christine. I'm really happy to be on your show. And that was quite the mouthful.
Yeah. I would like to know a bit about your acting background as a stuntman, and that is, I've seen you on Godzilla and the Planet of the Apes. Can you share with our audience a bit about your acting background?
Well, my acting background, I first started as doing background work, because it was one way to get on the set and be able to see what happened and kind of get paid at the same time. So, you know, I did that for a little while and just really started focusing on, what does this guy do? What does that woman do? What is she doing? Why has he got all the wires and things like that? So I really, you know, just try to immerse myself into like figuring out what, like who was doing what, why, and how. And so then I started, I joined this agency called DEFCON 5. And DEFCON 5 was this agency that we did mainly all the, back in the 90s and early 2000s, whenever you saw a SWAT team or a military group or a sniper or, you know, any kind of military organization, firemen, things like that, it was usually us. And one of the owners, Ron Blecker, we all had to go to the firing day to learn how to actually use weapons, how to hold them properly, how to not cover your face when you're, you know, in camera like this, down like that instead. And we got graded, and they did a, you know, criminal background check on it. It was a serious thing. So it was a very cool group to be a part of. I learned a lot of discipline that way. And then I wanted to get into stunts. So I, you know, started, you know, just focusing more on just, you know, dealing with stunt people and sending my resume out to stunt coordinators. And I worked on many shows, doubled some actors. And then, you know, I noticed that, back in those days, you either were a stuntman or you were an actor. And one of my good friends, Mike Dopud, was both. And I was like, well, that's cool. And because he could act and do stunts. But when an actor does a stunt and they get hurt, it's a big issue. That's why they have stunt doubles. So, I'd met Mike Dopud that way through stunts. And he was an actor, and he's a really cool guy. Still is to this very day. And then I got more into acting because I just enjoyed the discipline and the, you know, it was to be an actor, it looks really easy. It looks like you're just standing there talking, but you know, one of the things that I had to get used to is I didn't know what to do with my hands. Like, it sounds so silly, but one of the things I was like, what do I do? You know, because you don't think about it. I didn't know what to do with my hands. So now I know what to do with my hands. So just leave them alone. But then I didn't really know what to do with my hands. I always shoved them in my pockets and things. So, yeah.
I was saying, you know, at the very beginning, you were saying, like, you're interested in what people do. And do you find that being curious and knowing what each person does in their role, that's how you know what you want to do? And you want to be an actor?
Yeah. My curiosity has cursed me and now starting to bless me in my life, because I was always, why? How come? How do you know? I was just always that kid. I was just always curious about how things happened, and it got me in trouble when I was younger, but now I'm able to use that superpower for good things.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about, you're originally from Birmingham in Britain?
Yes, I was born in Birmingham, England. Yeah, and we left, I come from Jamaican heritage. My parents are, they moved from Jamaica to England, and then my brother and I were born. And when I was 7 years old, I have an older brother, Roger. He's older than me, 5 years older. And when I was seven, we moved to Canada. And then another thing that has helped me with my acting was I had this very strong British accent. My friends, kids at school used to say, "Hey, Dean, call your brother." And I didn't realize they were making fun of me, because I used to say, "Hey, Roger." And they thought it was so funny. So then after a while, I realized I'm being teased here. So then I figured out, well, if I can learn to speak like them, they won't tease me in as much. So then so I learned how to speak like a Canadian with my strong British accent. So yeah.
Went through an accent coach, right?
No. I just, like, for example, you know, "I'd like a glass of water," was what a British person would say, and a Canadian would say, "I'd like a glass of water." Roll the R's, a lot of R's. Yeah,
right.
So, yeah.
You could go and, you know, have roles in British.
Absolutely.
So you have the best of both
yep,
worlds.
Jamaican, everything, yeah. Yeah, I was always a kind of kid that would just listen to people. I noticed when someone is speaking to me that with an accent I don't understand, their eyes don't even matter. I'm looking right in their mouth. Like,
skills and talent.
Yeah, it's helped. It's helped me now. It's but before it was, you know, maybe not always the most best thing to you know, be the, why is that kid so curious? What just be happy with it. But
I want to congratulate you on the upcoming festival. This is second annual.
This is, yes. We did have one in 2023. But this, now we're having ours in 2025, this one, 2025, yeah.
So tell us about, what was the inspiration for having this festival?
That's a good question. It's many things. Comes from, you know, my dreams as a child and things like that. But I was asked a question the other day, and that question was, so what's it like to be a successful actor? And you know, it's a nice question to be asked, but I just didn't really know how to answer, because I don't think of myself as this successful actor. I'm an actor that's having some success. I'll know at the end of the day when how much success I've had. But more so, the reason, then they rephrased the question and said, so what is it that you find, what is success to you as an actor? And I said, and that was, I was able to honestly answer that more. And success to me as an actor is in creating opportunities for other people within my industry. Not actors, directors, because if I do a film and, you know, people like the film and the director likes me, then I'm going to create another opportunity for him or her, as well as myself. And also creating opportunities for people who would not necessarily have the opportunity in the first place. Marginalized countries, third world countries. Some of these submissions, and my good friend Mike Dopud, Judge Mike Dopud will tell you that I believe it now if I hadn't known it and seen it with my eyes, but some of these films were just shot on a cell phone. Not a lot of lighting, like this, you know, where you've invited me to this incredible stage with this lighting. Like, they don't have, they have hardly any resources. They have environmental issues. And so what I found is, if you have a, everybody has a story. If you have a story and you make it personal, I want to hear about it. So, you know, we have a, with the festival, we have a wonderful bunch of, group of pre-screeners, an amazing group of judges. Now, all of these people, all of the pre-screeners and all of the judges are people that I have personally handpicked to be involved in the festival. And I'm very proud of the group of people that I've chosen because they are all good, open energy people. They work well, work with each other. And back to your question about, my answer actually about creating opportunities for other people, all of my pre-screeners are acting students, film students, you know, and I happen to know that you may start as an act, you may start in this career as an actor, but then from watch, because they get to see these films firsthand and get to see that, oh, maybe I'd like to be a director. Maybe I'd like to, you know, it's such a wonderful opportunity to see these films. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of that, my friend, Mike Dopud, I have a quick story about him, and I tell him, he's probably heard it about 10 times, but years ago when I was working on a film, I would see Mike here and there. You know, I'd be on a show, he'd be on a show, and he was always doing, you know, like a principal role and a guest star and things like that, and I was still coming up. And one day I was on a show, and sometimes you have big trailers and sometimes you have small trailers. And depending on if you know the other actor, because we had trailers right beside each other, they were in the same space, but there was just like a zigzag mesh door to separate us. And Mike and I knew each other, so we just separated the door, just, you know, talked with each other. And I noticed Mike was, you know, not on his usual self. And I said, what's going on, man? And he said, I'm double booked, meaning he was booked on one show, for the show that I was on with him for one day, but he had another show that coincided on the same day. And being the person that he is, rather than try to get out of the one day show and go to the many other day show, he honored his contract. And I just found that, like, that story will stick with that, because I was, stick with me forever. That movie happened to be the one that he ended up, that he had many months on. He did end up working it out, and that movie was 300.
Oh,
yeah, so, you know, hats off to Mike Dopud for teaching me that, you know, you make a commitment, you see it through.
Yes.
And this is why, you know, he is one of my favorite judges, and this is the bar that has been set for judges. So if you want to be a judge on any of the festivals that I'm a judge at, you know, you gotta be at the Mike Dopud level.
And I love it when you say handpicked.
Handpicked. I've had it. Yeah, I had personal. I've worked with all of them, and they were the kind of people that I said, "Boy, I'd like to really work with that person again." Mm-hmm. And so.
Yeah. So, Dean, tell us about the categories.
Okay, so we have seven categories, and in no special order. I'm going to mention them in no special order. Best actor, best director, best cinematographer, best student film, best animation, and best documentary, which is a category I really like. And then there's the People's Choice Award, which is the award that is, it's chosen by the people. Yeah, and we have seven judges. And I'm going to name those judges now. So the judges, that's probably one of your questions, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I've spoken about them already. Best actor category is my good friend and just amazing person, Judge Mike Dopud. In the best directing category, we have a really good, another good friend of mine. Her name is Katie Boland. She's directing royalty. She's the daughter of Gail Harvey, who is an award-winning director who done many, many Hallmark movies and I believe Lifetime and things like that. Then we have the best cinematography category, and another great person. His name is Sterling Bancroft. He is a cinematographer who I've worked with on many films. Said, "Wow, I'd love to work with that guy again," and I was able to have the opportunity. And then we have her name is Corey Woods, who is I worked with her on a series called Dawn. She's our best documentary judge. She's fabulous. And then we have the best animation category, and the judge for that, his name is Carl Willem. And he is a man who, one of the first, because I'm a voice actor as well. And he gave me one of my very first jobs. I've been knowing Carl for 20 years, a fantastic guy. And then we have the best student film category with Judge Maritema Carlson, who is an amazing person. I've worked with her in the past, wanted to work with her again. We're doing a series, we're producing a series together, and I'll maybe on another show I can talk to you about that. Yeah, she's our best student film category judge. And then finally, but not least, we have the People's Choice Award, and that is going to be that will be presented by Judge Jay Kamal, on our inaugural year, was our best cinematography judge. So
yeah, it's a process too. I mean, takes a lot of work to put on a festival.
It does.
Second annual, so yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, we have some fantastic sponsors, and without them, we would not be able to do what we're doing. We have Lucid Luxury Automobiles. We have my union, the UBCP, UBCP ACTRA, which is the union that represents our performers. We've got Global TV. We've got, just to name a few, we have Edgemont Dentistry Group. We have Wall Center. And with us, we have this amazing, just an incredible person that I love her to death, Leslie Diana.
I knew.
Yeah. She's like, if you know Leslie, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you don't know her, you should know her. Leslie Diana is my publicist and my dear friend, and you know, yours as well. And she is the reason why I'm so lucky to even be sitting here with you. So, and yeah, I've known your show for quite a while, and just thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was great. We'll have to do this again.
Yes, please. Let's. Thank you.